Let's get started. We're going to be talking about two things, two major subtopics. We're going to talk about speaking with tongues, the initial Bible evidence, and then we're going to talk about the benefits of praying in tongues, the benefits of praying in tongues. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to be moving kind of fast, but I want to make sure that this is recorded for you and for others. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, it says, "And being assembled together with them," this is after the resurrection of Jesus, "he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait," now notice this, "they were to wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me." Verse 5, "For John truly baptized with water," now here's the promise of the Father, "you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Verse 8, Acts 1 verse 8, "But you shall receive power," we talked about this, "after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both," now notice here, "in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." Okay? Now notice God's intent was that this promise of the Father be poured out first in Jerusalem. Judea is northern of Jerusalem. Judea is farther north. And then Samaria is farther north. And then he says to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the end of the earth. So that's throughout the church age. This experience will be the experience throughout the church age. Now, let's look and walk you through the beginning of it on the day of Pentecost, and then we're going to walk through the, and I want you to see that every time people were baptized with the Spirit in the Bible, they spoke with tongues. Throughout the scriptures, every time believers were baptized with the Holy Spirit, there was the immediate initial evidence of speaking with tongues. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Acts 2, verse 4, it says, "This is Pentecost, their Pentecost, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." Now notice this, they began to do what? Do what? Talk to me. They began to do what? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That was the 120 on the day of Pentecost. This is the outpouring of the Spirit. This, it represents Jerusalem. Now, let's go to verse 11. I wanted you to see something here because I'm going to mention it later. Now, the Luke mentions all the different people who were in Jerusalem at that time, all the different nations. Then when he gets down to verse 11, he says, "Cretans and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue." Now notice what they were doing, the wonderful works of God. Now, many people think that they were preaching in tongues on the day of Pentecost. They were not preaching in tongues. There was no sermon preached in tongues. Tongues is not for preaching. It is not for preaching. Tongues is for praying, okay? There was no preaching. The Bible says that they heard them in their own language speaking the wonderful works of God. Now, I want you to remember that, make a note of that, because they were worshiping God in tongues, okay? Let's look at verse 16 and 17. Peter says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel," verse 17, "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." We're going to see that this baptism with the Holy Spirit, with the physical initial evidence of speaking with tongues, would manifest itself in supernatural manifestations, dreams, prophecies, visions. Now, let's look at verse 39. "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." So we have the day of Pentecost, this outpouring, and we see that all 120 spoke with other tongues. Now, let's go 8 years later, to Acts chapter 8. 8 years later. We looked at this, but I want you to see that connection with tongues. Acts chapter 8, look at what it says in verse 14. We'll read verse 14 down through verse 21. It says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria, so we're in Samaria now, had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, this is a text that many people debate. They say, well, you know, they didn't speak in tongues, you know, in Samaria. But remember what Jesus says. He says that this was going to take place in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. So now notice here, it said it did not physically say they spoke with tongues, but watch this. It says, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Question. The Bible says that he saw that they received the Holy Spirit. How did he know? I mean, what did he see? Well, you know, you could say, well, he saw them, they were happy. Well, they were already happy, and they were already happy. The Bible said there was joy in the city. They already had. Somebody said, well, it was miracles and all that. Well, Philip had already been preaching. They had signs and wonders and miracles and different people. He had already seen that. So what did he see? Well, somebody said, well, he saw the Holy Spirit. Well, you can't see the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is a spiritual being, a person. You can't see him. So what did he see? I submit to you that he saw them speaking with tongues. You ever seen anybody filled with the Spirit? Y'all never seen people speak with the Spirit? I've seen a lot of people speak with. How did you know?
Spoken tongues.
How did you know they were filled? You said, how many of you have seen people filled with the Spirit? Let me see your hand. Okay. How did you know they were filled with the Spirit? You say you saw them filled with the Spirit. So how did you know?
Evidence.
Oh, okay. Oh, dancing and joy, but people dance and joy all the time. Now, we believe that they were filled with the Spirit because we see them and hear them speaking with other tongues. But let's read the rest of the text. Let's look at verse 19. It says, when he saw, he said to them, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. But Peter said unto him, thou money perish with thee because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. So notice he wanted that ability too. He saw the apostles lay hands on them. And something happened. He said, listen, I want that. And I'll give you some money if you'll give me that gift to do that. Now look at what it says next verse. Peter said, thou hast neither part nor lot in this what?
Matter.
In this what?
Matter.
For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Now, the word matter, and you can look it up. You can look it up in a concordance. Strong's has a good concordance. You can look up this in a concordance, and the word matter there is the Greek word logos. It means logos. And it is an utterance, it's speech, it's mouth, it's communication, it's a word spoken. So what the scripture is saying, Peter is saying, you have no part in this matter of utterance. So it was the speaking, it was the utterance that fascinated him. It was the utterance that grabbed his attention. He wanted that ability to also pray with people and see them talk in this new language. So again, I submit to you that in Samaria, they also spoke with tongues. Let's look 10 years later over at Acts chapter 10, and let's look at verse 44. This is 10 years after the day of Pentecost. 10 years after the day of Pentecost. And notice what it says. This is at Cornelius' house, and now we're at a Gentile. So we've moved from Jerusalem out to Judea. We've moved to Samaria, and now we're over into that uttermost part. And we live in that uttermost part. This is the Gentiles. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Look at this. And they of the circumcision, or circumcision referred to the Jewish people, the Jewish believers that were there, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Jews did not believe that folk other than them, once they got saved in Jerusalem, once they got saved, they didn't believe that Gentiles could get saved. So this whole 10th chapter was a new thing. All of a sudden, God is moving out and saving Gentiles and filling them with the Spirit. The Bible says there was a group of Jews, along with Peter, went to Cornelius' house. Cornelius was a Gentile, and they were preaching. And the Bible says they were astonished when they saw that they could get saved and they could get filled with the Spirit, and that the Holy Ghost was poured out on them. Now look at the next verse. For they heard them. For they what?
Heard.
For they what?
Heard.
Heard them speak with tongues. And I want to emphasize the word magnify God. Again, magnify God. Now, the thing that convinced them that they were filled with the Spirit was they heard them speak with tongues the way we spoke with tongues. Now, I submit to you, over the years, I mean just years, because I've been pastor for around 37 years, I've heard people say, well, I got filled with the Spirit, and I didn't talk in tongues. I never debate it. Here's the deal. I never debate it. I don't think it's my assignment to debate people who are satisfied. But I would want a Bible experience, okay? I would want it the way it is in the Bible, because I would believe that God had a purpose for the speaking
That's
with tongues.
Right. That's right.
And we're going to see that in a moment. God is a God of purpose. He never does anything just to be doing it. He's a God of purpose. And the thing that convinced them that they were filled with the Spirit, the Bible said they heard them speak with tongues. Let's look almost 20 years later, Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Here is a group of people who had heard John's baptism, but they had not heard about Jesus. And so Paul preached to them, and then they got saved, and they also got filled with the Spirit. Verse 5 says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. And what happened? What happened? They spoke with tongues, but they did something else. They prophesied. So here's a beautiful proof text, again, that the initial physical evidence when a person is filled with the Spirit or baptized with the Spirit or receive the Holy Ghost, all mean the same thing, filled with the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit, received the gift of the Holy Ghost, outpouring of the Holy Spirit, means the same thing. The physical initial evidence is they will speak with other tongues. That's the figure. But now notice, in this case, they prophesied. And here is something, I won't talk much about this. I believe that this is a proof text that it is the baptism with the speaking with tongues that is the doorway into the gifts of the Spirit. Okay. I believe that it is the doorway into the gifts of the Spirit. Maybe sometime in the near future we'll talk about the gifts of the Spirit, because prophecy is supernatural utterance in a known language. Supernatural utterance in a known language. Now, the first part of this teaching, I wanted to show you that God connects speaking with tongues with being filled with the Spirit. And it's for every Christian. Come on, say every Christian.
Every.
Say for every Christian.
Every.
Come on, say for every Christian.
For every Christian.
Now, In previous lessons, we talked about the purpose of the baptism. I'm being repetitious. The purpose of being baptized with the Spirit is to be a witness unto Jesus Christ, to validate his resurrection through signs, wonders, and miracles. This baptism with the Spirit is the doorway to that supernatural. It's the purpose is harvest. The question now is, what is the purpose for the tongues? And I think about it. What is the purpose for the tongues? And I submit to you that when Christians understand the purpose for the tongues, they will have a hunger and a desire to pray with other tongues. I believe that with all my life, all my heart. So there are many different purposes or reasons, but I'm going to give you four. I'm going to give you four main ones. I think these are the major ones, and we're going to walk through each one of them. How many of you pray in tongues? Let me see your hand. Okay. You pray in tongues. Okay. Now, we're going to do it. Okay. We're going to talk about it, and then we're going to do it. Okay. We're going to talk about it, and then we're going to what? Do it. And I think the beauty of this kind of setting is that it can be practical enough for people to kind of see something, you know, because I'm a firm believer. I want to know what I'm getting into. I've always been like that, you know. I believe the Bible says that the Bereans searched the scriptures to see whether or not what Paul said was the truth. And I believe in giving people information. I don't believe in just laying hands on people and then they do something. Because, see, if you do that real quick, people get an experience, but they won't walk in it. Because they don't understand it. And then the devil will talk them out of it. So we'll talk about it, and then we'll do it. But then it's a free will thing, precious people. At the end, if you're still struggling with your prayer language, we're going to pray with you and pray that you get a release in your prayer language. If you're not filled with the Spirit, but you want to, we'll pray for you to be filled with the Spirit. But if you happy the way you are, we happy with you the way you are. Amen. Okay, so let's look at the first reason why I think it's so very important. The Bible teaches praying in tongues is self-edification. Self-edification. Now, before we get there, I want to introduce this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is going to be a big chapter that you need to study out. 1 Corinthians 14. Let's look at verse 5, 18, and 19. I want to introduce something. It says, I would that you all, this 1 Corinthians 14, 5, I would that you all spake with tongues. Paul, that's what he's saying. Now watch what he's saying. He said, I wish, or I pray that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. So there's something that I want to communicate to you first, okay? There is a public side to speaking with tongues, and then there's a private side. There's a public side and the private side. So what the Apostle Paul says, he said, I want you all to speak with tongues, okay? He said, but it would be better for you to prophesy in the church. In the church. So the people could understand what's going on. Because prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a known language. Tongue is a supernatural utterance in an unknown language. And it requires an interpretation. So publicly, there is what the Bible calls diverse kinds of tongues. It is the public manifestation. A believer stands up in the congregation and they speak out in a language that nobody understands, okay? That requires interpretation. Then somebody also comes back and give the interpretation of that. That's tongues and interpretation. Paul says that when you have tongues and interpretation, it is equivalent to prophecy. In other words, people can leave edified. Now, let's look at verses 18 and 19. He said, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Here's the great Apostle Paul, wrote 3/3 of the New Testament. He says, I thank my God that I speak in tongues. I speak with tongues more than the whole church. There must be some benefit to it for him to say, I speak in tongues more than all of y'all. He said, I speak in tongues more than y'all, everybody. Right, watch this. He says, verse 19, yet in the church, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So when he put those verses together, right away we see something. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask questions at the end. We see something that there's a public side to tongues. And it's obvious that when Paul did all this speaking in tongues, it wasn't in church. Because he said, in the church. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all, yet in the what? Church. So that tells me that this great deal of talking in tongues and praying in tongues that he was doing was in his private devotions. It was in his private life. So there is a public side where believers are anointed to stand up and bring an utterance. I'm just illustrating it. Everybody gets quiet. Then another person is anointed to give the interpretation. We have that happen in our church. We have that happen in our church on a regular basis. People bring an utterance, then somebody will give an interpretation. Every Christian won't have that ability to do that. Not every Christian will be used publicly. But every Christian has the capacity or should have the capacity to pray in tongues in their own private life. So the first purpose for praying in tongues in your private life is for self-edification. Now let's explain that. Look at verse 4, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. It says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue does what?
Edify.
Does what?
Edify.
Edify what?
Himself.
Edify him what? The word edify there means to build up, to strengthen, to develop. Build up, strengthen, to develop. Okay, now, build up what? It says himself, but what is himself? Okay, well, what? His spirit. Well, let's look at that. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Let's look at that. What are we building up when we pray in tongues? What are we building up? Look at what 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says. The very God of peace sanctify you what? Holy. I pray God your what? Whole spirit and be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that tells us that as humans, we're triune beings. We're triune beings. You are a spirit. Watch this. Hey, look at me.
Hey.
Hey, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. None of you can see me.
Oh, I see you.
No. None of you can see me. You can't see me.
No, it's your spirit. We can't see you.
You see my body. Me is on the inside of this body looking out these windows called eyes.
Yeah.
The real you is a spirit. The part of you that's going to live forever is a spirit. This physical body is just your vehicle. It's the house you live in. This right here is temporary. But the real you lives on the inside of you. You are a spirit. You have a soul. Your soul is your mind, your emotions, and your will. And you live in a physical body. So when the scripture says that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue is not talking about developing or building your physical body. So how do we develop our bodies?
Exercise.
Lift weights. Eat right.
That's right.
How do we build up our souls? That's our mind, emotions. Well, how do we build up our souls? Huh? We go to school, we educate ourselves, we read books, we do seminars, and we enhance and develop our minds, right?
Right.
Well, that has nothing to do with our spirits. Lifting weights has nothing to do with our spirits. Diet has nothing to do with our spirits. Reading books and getting a degree has nothing to do with our spirits. We're building up our souls when we go to school. We're building up our bodies when we go to the gym. But how do we build up our spirits? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and let's look at verse 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. Now watch this. It says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my what?
Spirit.
My what?
Spirit.
My spirit is praying. My what?
Spirit.
Is what?
Praying.
Now watch this. But my
understanding
is unfruitful. So that tells me right now that when I'm praying in tongues, I'm not praying from my head. Father, I love you so very much. You're just so wonderful. I'm so glad that you sent Jesus to save me. I'm praying with my mind. When I pray in tongues, I'm praying with my spirit. My mind don't know what that means. Because it's not mental. It's not mental. It's my spirit praying. Praying in tongues is the prayer language of your spirit. Your human spirit can pray. Now, some Christians go all their lives and their spirit never prays. Now, look at Jude 20. Let's look at Jude. So, I can build up myself. I can build up my spirit. I can build up my spirit. And it's important for me to build up my spirit. Because when I have a strong spirit, it enhances my ability to hear God.
Amen.
It enhances my ability to be led by God. With a strong spirit, I can function supernaturally. I can function in the gifts of the Spirit. So I need my spirit to be strong. It is possible, watch this now, to have a well-developed body and a well-developed mind and have an undeveloped spirit. Now, notice what it says here in Jude 20. It says, actually, it's not Jude 1:20 because it's only one chapter. It's Jude 20, okay? But ye, beloved, watch this, building up what? Yourselves on your most holy faith, doing what?
Praying
in the Holy Ghost. So when I pray in the Holy Ghost, I'm building up my spirit. I'm building up my spirit. Oh, let's pray in tongues. Come on, come on, pray out. Let me hear you pray. Come on. There you go. Now watch this, because we're teaching now. Now I'm not trying to put anybody down, but I ain't jerking. I'm not foaming at the mouth. I'm not bucking. I'm just praying. Come on, let's pray. We can pray that way anytime we want to. We're in control. We ain't going to be walking in the grocery store and all of a sudden jump out my mouth. No. Now I can pray as loud. Oh, I can pray quietly. Cause see, if my wife's sleeping, I'm in the bed. I don't need to be. No, she said, boy, be quiet. I'm trying to sleep. So I lay right there. Watch it, I'm gonna pray in tongues right now. You hear me? I'm praying. Okay. Every time I pray that way, you pray that way, you're building up your spirit. Now, it's unfortunate that many times Christians are spirit-filled, but they don't pray that way. You should pray that way sometime every day. At some time every day. I don't want to give you a rule like 30 minutes or whatever. No, you should be building up your spirit the same way you eat breakfast. How many of you normally eat breakfast? I don't eat a lot of breakfast. How many eat breakfast? How many of you eat a meal one, at least once a day? Okay. Well, if 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or whatever, you need to be praying in the spirit to build up your spirit. You give your spirit an opportunity to pray, and it will build you up on the inside of it. Don't worry about how I feel. The Bible said nothing about feeling. It said, he that speaketh in tongues edifies himself. That's the first reason, first reason. Now, the second reason I think is wonderful. We'll look at, we gave you some proof text, but I want to go to another one. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 16 through 17. The second reason why speaking with tongues is important is for supernatural worship and thanksgiving. Supernatural worship and what?
Thanksgiving.
Supernatural worship and supernatural thanksgiving. Supernatural worship and supernatural thanksgiving. Now remember, we read Acts 2:11. It's the Bible said we hear them speak in our language the wonderful works of God. Remember we read that? Acts 10, watch this, Acts 10:46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So we can take our prayer language and we worship God with our prayer language. So let's look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. He says, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, now based on the other scriptures we read, blessed with the Spirit is blessing with tongues. Blessing God with the Spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned say amen at thou giving of thanks? So the person is giving thanks in tongues, seeing thou understandest, he understandeth not what he saith. Now look at verse 17. For thou verily give thanks well, but the other is not what? So right away we see that it's possible to give thanks to God in tongues. It is possible to magnify God in tongues, right? Right?
Right?
Right? Okay, now watch this. Let's look at, let's go back up, and you didn't have this, but let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:15. Okay, watch what it said. What is it then? I will pray with the what?
Spirit.
What is that? What is praying with the Spirit?
Tongues.
I will pray with the what?
Understanding.
What? That's both ways, right? Right. I'm going to pray with, I will
sing
with the Spirit. I will sing with the
understanding.
Tamika led us and we were singing with our understanding. When she led us in a song, we were singing with our understanding. But we can sing in tongues. La masevle doshke la mande levando roshaya. I love you, Lord. I love you, la meso moro voskela mandelea. Leve toro, le miento savaya, ya, ya. Leve toro voskandeleando, nasaya. Nevro toskele miento. Come on, sing with me. Clamandeleando. Come on, Simon. Come on, Nata. Come on, lift it. Nafrendo skele miento. Shavandeleando. Handelevo. Necrendo shalama. Shevendo robo shele miento. Naro lavasele miento. Lemendo. Levesco le miando rovo salama shalamandeleando. Lavero, lavero. Nero rendo le miando savandeleando. Lava scende. Yandele amo. Okay, how many of y'all sing in the spirit? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's most of y'all. Most of y'all. How many of you pray in tongues you don't sing in the spirit? How many of y'all pray in tongues you don't sing in the spirit? Okay. You got to start singing in the spirit. You got to start singing in the spirit. Just put a tune to it. Don't worry about it. It's the best way to be able to sing if you can't sing. Praise the Lord, because God knows exactly what, he knows exactly what you're saying. And it's beautiful to him. It is beautiful to him. It is beautiful to him. And it's beautiful when a whole congregation is singing out in the spirit. You can sense that. You can sense the very presence of God. I mean, you can just sense the very presence of God. And usually, gifts of the spirit will flow out of that kind of environment. So that's the second reason to bless God and to thank God. Now let's look at the third reason. Look at Romans 8:26. You getting anything out of this? You getting anything out of this? Okay. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Is this good? Is this good? Okay, y'all look quiet. Y'all look quiet. Is it because y'all listening?
Yes.
Okay, y'all learning?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Y'all want me to shut up, do you?
No.
Okay, good. Because I wasn't going to shut up anyway, but I just wanted to know whether you're all right. Okay. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. So, speaking in tongues, give me the capacity to edify myself, self-edification, build myself up. Give me the capacity to worship God and give thanks in tongues, but supernatural intercession. In other words, praying in tongues give me the capacity to pray for that which I don't have knowledge about. Now look what it says in Romans 8, 26 and 27. It says, likewise also the Spirit helps our infirmities. Say infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit it or himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Next verse. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now let's go back up to verse 26. It says, likewise the Spirit helps our infirmities. The word infirmities means weakness. It means the inability to produce results because of a lack of knowledge. Okay, so when I lack knowledge, it's hard to pray for something that I don't have all the information for. So the Bible says our weakness is that we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's why this morning I was praying in the spirit. There was an argument in a mall in Birmingham, Hoover. I don't know how many guys were arguing, but there was a guy arguing, and one guy pulled out a weapon and shot a guy. And the little girl, 12, was also shot. The police came in, people running through the mall. Police came in, we don't know all the facts, and shot a young man, 21 years old, who was not the shooter. It is a lot going on. It is a lot of facts, it's a lot of unknown things, it's a lot of situations. So in terms of praying for the family, I don't personally know the family, so I don't know everything they going through. So I pray for them in my understanding. Father, I pray for April. That's what the mother's name. I pray for April. And I think the father's name is Emantic. I pray for him. I pray for the grandmother. And I pray for all those that are connected to them in relationship. I pray that you comfort them. Pray that they not be bitter. I pray that they not, that not anger consume them. But I pray that they have peace and I pray that they have comfort. So I'm praying with my understanding. But there's so much going on that we don't know all the facts. So I got to pray for the police departments, because we want disclosure and we want truth and we don't want no cover-ups and all that kind of stuff, because it can tear up the whole city. It can just tear it up, you know what I mean? And so it's so many things, it's people protesting, it's so many different kinds of things going on. I don't have no information. I don't think most people have information. So if we don't have information, how are we going to pray? I don't know how to pray for that. So I just took time and I said, I'm going to pray for in the spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit, to pray about this. And sometimes as I pray and I can tell he's grabbing hold to me. I can tell he's grabbing hold to me and he's praying through me, because I know not what to pray for as I ought. But let me tell you something. You understand that situation. There are times I don't know what's going on with my wife, and I've been married to her 40 years. I don't know what's going on. I don't have a clue what's going on with her. So I pray for her in the spirit too. And guess what? This may sound strange to you, but sometimes I don't know what's going on with me. I don't always know what I'm dealing with. I don't always know what issues I'm going through. I went through a thing many years ago. I didn't know what. I was tripping. I said, God, I'm struggling mentally, emotionally. I'm struggling. And so I was praying about me. I'm crying and stuff, praying for me, praying in the spirit, because I don't know what to pray for. So if I don't know what to pray for, how am I going to pray? Well, God gave me a capacity, a supernatural capacity to pray beyond my intellect. When I don't know, the Holy Spirit knows. So he gave us the capacity to be able to pray supernaturally. And I was praying for myself, and the Spirit of God spoke back to me, gave me the interpretation. He said rejection. And I went all back through that, being given away as a kid and all that stuff. And I realized that I had needed to do some forgiveness and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't know what was wrong. I didn't have a clue what was wrong with me. But God gave us the capacity to be able to pray when we know not what to pray for. That's supernatural intercession. Supernatural intercession. I don't want to be limited to my intellect. I don't want to be limited to what I know. Because if I'm limited, I can't pray. And I know you feel the same way. Anybody ever had things you ain't know what to pray for? I mean, you ain't have a clue what to pray for. Well, God gave us tongues so that we could be able to pray supernaturally for those things. Amen.
Amen.
I want to show you one last thing, and I'm going to try to run through it because I want to make sure I give you some time to be able to ask questions, because this is so very important. It'll just take you to a whole nother level. I pastor a church of a bunch of folk, and I don't know what's going on with the people.
Wow.
I get a lot of my sermons praying in tongues. I don't know what to preach. I don't know what to say. I don't know what people need. And then people stand up and say, that's exactly what I need. And they'll say stuff like, you're so smart. I'll be thinking, you just don't know, honey. If you only knew, shoot. The Spirit of God give me lessons. He give me sermons. He give me ideas. He drop things. Praying in tongues is one of the most powerful things. That's why Satan fights it. Because he wants us limited to the natural. Limited to our intellect. He fights it hard. He fights it hard because it's a whole different realm of spiritual walk and spiritual warfare. We got to pray. There's some things we got to pray. And in this church, we got to have folk who can pray. It's going to be some challenges that we're going to face. And we got to be able to have people who can pray and intercede and pray for one another and pray for your families. And some of our folk are going to come in the kingdom when we pray for them. They're going to come into the kingdom. So there's something that I learned, and it took me years to learn this. But I'm going to try to teach it to you in about 10 minutes. I learned that I could pray out God's purpose and plan for my life. Praying out God's purpose and plan for your life. That's the fourth thing, to be able to pray out God's purpose. Let me ask you a question. If I ask you right now, what is God's purpose for your life? What would you say? Why are you on this earth? Why are you here? What is your assignment? One day you're going to have to stand before God and give an account of why you was on this earth. That's before the judgment seat of Christ. You ain't going to be judged heaven or hell, because you're going to get to heaven because of what Jesus did. But when it comes to rewards, we're going to be rewarded based on how faithful we were to our assignment. Every Christian is given an assignment. There's a reason why you're on this planet. You're not here to just go to church. You're not here to just be a good person. You have a call on your life. There's a purpose on your life. There's a plan. And one day you're going to have to stand before Jesus and give account of what he wanted you to do in this earth. If I ask you, what is it? What is your assignment? What are you called to do? What is your purpose? What would you say? I would submit to you that most Christians don't know. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. But how do I get it? How do I know? How do I find out? You know, how do I do this? Okay, you can pray it out in tongues. I believe, apart from some of you getting together and sending, encouraging me to come to Columbus, I believe it was my praying that connected us together. I believe it was y'all praying that connected us together. I don't believe it just happened. I believe you can pray out God's purpose for your life. I'm praying about things now I'm not walking in. But 20 years ago, I was praying out what I'm walking in right now. Let's look at some scriptures. Let's look at Proverbs 19:21. I'm going to try to run through this kind of quick. It says, there are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Many devices mean plans. We all got plans. I plan to be this. I plan to go this. I plan to major in this. I plan to do this. It says, there are many plans, but it's the counsel of the Lord, the purpose of the Lord that's going to really stand. God's purpose for your life is going to really stand. You can go 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and never walk in God's purpose for your life. You can actually major in stuff, make a bunch of money, be at the top of the ladder in your profession, and miss God's purpose for your life. Now, let's look at what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So we see that purpose predates birth. Before you were born, God ordained that the purpose for your life. Before you were born. So watch this. Purpose now is discovered. It's not created. It's discovered. It's not you coming up with something that you want to do and something you want to. That's why a lot of people are successful in the eyes of the world, but they're unfulfilled. Because it's purpose. It's not just being successful. It's purpose. And God said, before you were born, I knew you. Before you were born, I ordained a purpose for your life. Watch this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2:7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Say a what?
Mystery.
Even though hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Look at which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have crucified the Lord of glory. So Satan didn't know the purpose of Jesus. Because if he didn't know the purpose of Jesus, he never took him to that cross. That purpose was a mystery. And there are some things that God don't want the devil to know about you yet. And so God's plan for your life is a mystery. Look at verse 9. It says, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things which God hath what?
Prepared.
Hath what?
Prepared.
So there's some things God has already prepared for you. But you can't know them with your physical eyes. You can't know them with your physical ears. You can only know them by the Spirit. Now look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 14:2. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For I determined not to know it. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, how being in the Spirit he speaks what?
Mystery.
Speaks what?
Mystery.
A part of the mysteries that you're speaking out is God's plan for your life. God's plan for your life. Now, we read 1 Corinthians 15:15. Now, let's look at it again. 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is it then? I will pray with the what?
Spirit.
That's tongues. I will pray with the what?
Understanding.
What? So, in order to follow purpose, we're going to have to pray with our understanding. We're going to have to pray with the Spirit. Okay, look at Jeremiah 29:11. You know that one. She said, I know that one. She said, I know that one. Okay, I know that one. Okay, watch this. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of what?
Peace.
And not of?
Evil.
To give you what?
And expect it in.
So God got a plan, doesn't he? And it's a good plan, isn't it? Well, I could pray that out of my understanding. Father, I just want to thank you that you got a plan for my life. You've already thought it out, and it's good. It's not evil. I want to walk in it. I want to walk in the fullness of it. Okay, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14. Is this too deep?
No.
Huh?
It's good.
If it's too deep?
It's good.
Okay, everybody with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 7. We're going to read down through verse 13. Even 1 Corinthians 14, verse 7, it says, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. My fault. And we'll stop here, and then I'm going to ask questions. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a what?
Mystery.
Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath what?
Prepared.
For them that? So God has prepared some things for you. Your plan, his plan for your life. Listen at this. God has a plan for your life. Watch this. Oh, this is so good. And everything you need to carry it out, he already prepared it. Every person you need to know, all the money you need, all the favor you need, every connection, he's already worked it out. Watch this. So if this is God's purpose, now we're going to read the rest of the verse, then as I walk, he's got some people along that path. He's got resources along that path. He's got faith along that path. He's got money along that path. Everything I'm going to need to be successful, he done already planned it out. Watch this though. But if that's his plan, that his path, and I'm over here. Everything he set up for me is over there. So it's going to be hard over here. I'm going to have to manipulate. I'm going to have to do everything. I'm going to have to try. Can you help me? Please help me. Can you give me some money? Can you? See, I got to work real hard over here because everything he's planned for me is down that path. Does that make sense? Okay, so I need to know that. Because he's already prepared. That's what the text says. It says, has prepared. Next verse. God has revealed them to us how?
By his Spirit.
For the Spirit search all things, yeah, the deep things of God. Next verse. For what man knoweth the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the Spirit of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Watch this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. He's on the inside of us. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us. Next verse. Which things also we what?
Speak.
Which things we also what?
Speak.
Which things we also what?
Speak.
So we're speaking mysteries. Watch this. Not within the words which man's wisdom teach. We speak in something, but we're not speaking it in words which man's wisdom taught. We're not speaking it in words that we learn in school. Our mama taught. We're not speaking in those kind of words, but which the Holy Ghost teach. So the only way we can truly tap into that purpose and really walk it out, if we need to pray with our understanding and pray in tongues. And that's the way I pray most of the time. That's the way I pray about this church here in Columbus. I pray about it with my understanding, because I understand some things. I know some things that I need, but there's some things I don't understand, so I take my time and pray about it. There's some other things on my life. God has dropped something about New York. I'm supposed to do something in New York, but I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do. So I'll talk to him about it, and then I pray it out. I just walked, I got a little place and I just walked. Lord, you know, you want me to do something, and I'm really willing to do it, and I want to do it, and you just reveal it to me, I'll be happy to do it. God, show me exactly how we're supposed to do this Columbus thing. I need you to know, because there's a lot of different ways. See, I'm talking about my understanding. There's a lot of ways we could do church, but you got a plan. You got a way you can do this. And I know you want me to do it, and I just want to do it the way you want me to do it. Anybody single, you want to get married? Nobody. Praise the Lord. Okay, okay, okay. Well, I tell y'all real slow on that. Okay. Well, I would pray about that. I would pray about that with my understanding. Because 1 Corinthians 7:2, 1 and 2, it says, it's not good for a man to touch a woman. Let every woman have her own husband. And let every man have his own wife. So that tell me there's a husband and a wife for me right there. So I can pray about that in my understanding. God, I want a spouse, and I want a spouse that love you.
Amen.
I want a spouse that spouse that loves Jesus and gonna love me, and I can love them. I meet his needs or her needs, and she meets my needs, and God, that we can do life. See, I can talk about that, but there's so much that I can't talk about that spouse, see, because you don't want him to just be fine. Because he could be fine and you hate his guts, you know what I mean? Like, you don't even want to see him. Like, get out of my face. Everybody else think he's fine. You thinking, man, if I could get out of this, if I could just get out of this, okay? So you want, watch this, you want somebody that fits the purpose. Because God has already planned a purpose, and you don't know all of that purpose yourself. So how can you pick somebody that fits it when you don't know? Listen, I don't know fully everything I'm supposed to do. Let's say I'm single. How in the world am I going to pick somebody, and I don't know, and then I pick somebody, she's just as fine as all get out, okay? But I'm supposed to go this way, and she don't want to go that way. So I don't have somebody to fit God's plan for my life. So I got to talk about that in tongues. Clemente le beto, sclimiento caravante le grito, sclamane le grento, comaridisci le gretosca. Fante ne greto, comande le greto. You can pray him up. It just say it works. Oh yeah, you can pray her up. You can pray. I pray about ministry all the time. I pray about things all the time. I pray in tongues. I spend more time praying in tongues than I pray in English. Because it's too much I don't know. I'm not that smart. But I believe God is smart. Amen.